and our only expectation be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Let us continue this worship service by singing Psalm 85, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Psalm 85, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. of the scripture reading in this evening hour can be found in God's holy and infallible word in the book of Genesis chapter 30. But first, we will confess our faith by the words of the 12 articles. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, and he descended into hell. And the third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We repeat the scripture reading in the book of Genesis, chapter 30. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children, or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead, who had withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go into her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife. And Jacob went in unto her, and Bilhah conceived, and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again, and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. And when Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, A troop cometh, and she called his name Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest, and found mandrakes in the field, and brought them unto his mother Leah. And then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And she said unto her, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore he shall lie with thee tonight, for thy son's mandrakes. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him, and said, thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, God has given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband, and she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again, and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God has endued me with good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. And God remembered Rachel, And God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go into mine own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me at thy wages, and I will give, and I will give it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I served thee, and how thy cattle was with me, for it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased into a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for mine own house also? And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. And I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for me for my hire before thy face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats, and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And he removed that day the goats and were rings racked and spotted, and all the sea goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar, and of hazel, and chestnut tree, and pillared white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had pilled before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods, and brought forth cattle ringed, racked, speckled and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs, and set the faces of the flocks towards the ringstracket, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves, and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, and that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maidservants, and manservants, and camels, and asses. So far the scripture reading. Let us pray. Lord, we have to confess the story, we have to continue the story of Jacob. But let it not be a story only, for the flight of Jacob went through the narrow gate at Bethel. And that we may follow Jacob through the narrow gate, O Lord, and then we travel at a narrow way, like Jacob did. O Lord, reveal thy ways in the story of Jacob, and that we may follow Jacob in his faith, that we may become followers of the Lord Jesus. And that is only possible if we went through the narrow gate. Lord, we pray thee for a blessing in the opening of thy word. It looks a well-known story, but there is a secret in it that we can only know it by revelation. Lord, thou knows who we are, and thou knows by which spirit we are moved. Lord, teach us in thy ways, give us a battle, like Jacob received when the sun in his life was set. Discover us, O Lord, because by nature we are so blind in what terrible danger we are. Jacob escaped the avenger of blood at Bethel, for after Bethel Jacob may live and travel for thy account. Lord, we be with the sick and the older people when the struggling hinders their moves, that they may rest upon thee, O Lord, in all their afflictions, but by through faith alone. Lord, be with us in speaking and listening. Make thy word powerful by thy spirit in our hearts. And take reason out of thyself. Don't leave us, and don't take away thy spirit from us. But let us walk in the footsteps of thy begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, in the forgiveness of all our sins. We pray thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, as a preparation for the preaching, first we will sing together Psalm 103, verse 5 and 7. Psalm 103, the verses 5 and 7. Beloved, the last time we have preached about Jacob's dream at Bethel and his justification by faith. And we have seen that the ladder of Jacob was a type of a true faith. And that ladder was also pointed to the mediator, Christ, who was on top of the ladder. Because Jesus is the way to the Father. And Jacob now had to flee for his brother Esau. But after Bethel, it was actually not a flight anymore, because Jacob was saved by free grace at Bethel. And after he was living and traveling, and after that he was living and traveling on the Lord's account. And God's people live by the meetings with God, and nothing is able to remove the meetings with God out of their memory, out of their heart. So in the morning sermon we have heard that Jacob's journey was prosperous and with peace. And now we will think about it in English for a better understanding for some of us. Now I have to say for all of us, an eternal miracle if we would understand the spiritual meaning, and that we believe the power of the gospel. So Jacob had left Bethel, but now the Lord was with him, and finally arrived near Haran, the town where Laban lived. And Jacob was tired of walking and traveling, and sat down near a water well where sheep were given water. And he sees how the shepherds were feeding the flock, and he asks them where they came from. Yeah, and the shepherds make clear to him that they were from Haran. And they also appear to know Laban, and while they are informing Jacob about Laban, one of Laban's daughters comes to the well also with a flock of sheep. And it appears to be Rachel, Laban's youngest daughter. And that was divine providence, because the Lord takes care that every man will meet his own wife. And that is what you have to know, men in our midst. You have to know from the Lord that the woman or girl you love, you receive her out of his hands. Why? Well, natural love can be so deceitful, so that you have to know, is this woman, is this girl, I want to marry in God's favor. Why are there so many divorces in our days? Because they don't ask for the Lord's will, whether they belong together, yes or no. And if that is the case, my beloved, you cannot expect a blessing for your marriage. A marriage is not based on love, but based on faithfulness. Jacob and Rachel belong together, not only because of the Lord's providence, but also by faith. For it says, and Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Now, that weeping of Jacob was not a complaint, no, but because of the gladness of his faith. Jacob believed that Rachel would be his wife. And when Jacob had said who he was, Rachel ran and told her father Laban. And as soon as Jacob comes into Laban's house, he tells them what had happened to him. And that was quite something. But I don't think he told Laban everything about his conflict with Esau. Anyway, Jacob became Laban's servant. And when Jacob had been in Laban's service for about a month, and Laban asked Jacob, tell me, what shall thy wages be? Now Jacob, however, didn't ask money, but his daughter Rachel. And then Jacob offers Laban 7 years' service in order to get married to Rachel, for he loved her. And love doesn't count. Love doesn't reason. Love wants to know. But love can also wait. Young fellows in our midst, don't be too hasty with the girl you love and wait. For the wise says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. And she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, however, Jacob had found his wife and met her at the well. That was divine providence. So it happened to Eliezer when he looked for a bride for Isaac. It was also at this well that he had found Rebekah. And in both cases it was at the first meeting. And the well where Jacob met Rachel was the same well where the Lord Jesus did meet the Samaritan woman, and she became the bride of Christ. Wonderful, isn't it? And this well is called in the New Testament the well of Jacob. So, this well was a providence meeting place, so to speak. And many think that the marriage between Jacob and Rachel was a carnal marriage. But that is unbiblical. For it says in Proverbs 18, verse 22, Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Now God had caused Jacob to find Rachel in the same way as Eliezer had found Rebekah for Isaac. For Rachel was also mentioned in the book of Ruth as a woman that had built a house of Israel, like Leah had done. There was only one little difference. Rachel was hardly able to marry when Jacob coveted her. But Laban had another daughter, namely Leah. She was Laban's oldest daughter, and Leah was said to be tender-eyed. According to the marginal notes, this meant weak, sickly eyes. But about Rachel it says that Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Yeah, the outward appearance is often deceiving, but in the fear of the Lord it is an ornament to God, as his image bearer. For God didn't create ugly people. No. That is a result of the fall in Adam. But through the fall, the outward appearance has only become something showy unless it has been sanctified by the Lord. However, in the covenant of grace, God acts without respect of persons. So, Rachel's pretty face didn't count with God, mind you. The unsightliest man may have more value to the Lord than the prettiest creatures. So, the ancient people would say it only counts what God has put in the heart. So, it is the heart that counts, young fellows. Our patriarchs were often in straits because of the beauty of their wives. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we must ignore beforehand the beauty of God's creation and creatures. No. But sin has merit all. But then we should keep in mind at the same time that all bodily deformities are also the result of sin. So outward beauty may be deceptive, but not necessarily beforehand. An ugly woman can be deceitful as well. So, someone's outward appearance in itself doesn't mean anything. One shouldn't seek an ugly woman beforehand either. Let us be honest. But ask the Lord to give you an honest wife, a girl or a woman in God's favor. And remember what counts. Did I get a wife in God's favor or under his sufferance? That is a big difference. And I've heard once, and one should be careful with it, but I heard of a married couple who both feared the Lord, but it was a marriage without love. Now, young fellows, I wouldn't like you to have this. For at last the wife was in the attic and the husband lived in the cellar of the house. Now, congratulations of such a marriage. For God's commandment is, men ought to love their own wives even as Christ also loved the church. Now, well, this held true for Jacob and Rachel. They loved each other. For it says in Genesis 20:29, and Jacob loved Rachel and said to Laban, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Now, and of course, Laban agreed, for it didn't cost him a penny, for Laban was a miser. And beloved, love of money is a root of all evil, the word says. And that will appear here also. So Jacob requested no money for his labor, but Laban's youngest daughter, Rachel. And Laban had no problem at all with Jacob's request, because Laban was a miser, a miser, and a miser is unconverted. When the Lord converts a miser, he is not a miser anymore. When the Lord converts a murderer, he is not a murderer anymore. And when God converts a Buddhist, he is not a Buddhist anymore. When Paul was converted, he was no longer a persecutor of God's people, although he called himself the chief of sinners after grace. He was no longer a persecutor of God's people after his conversion. And when God converted Rahab, the harlot, she was not a harlot anymore, in literal sense, although her name remained Rahab the whore. So, and that, we can add to this list, when the Lord converts an abortionist, he is not an abortionist anymore. And the same goes for a gay person. None of God's people can be gay, because homosexuality belongs to a gay, and a gay is under the law, because homosexuality stands in the framework of the government of the devil. When God converts a gay, he is not a gay anymore. And the so-called reformed people in our days want us to believe that gays can be Christians, but that is a lie of the devil. Homosexuality is an unnatural sin, and all unnatural sin stands in the framework of the government of the devil. Suicide, incest, abortion, euthanasia, homosexuality are all unnatural sins, and these sins cannot be committed by the children of God. So homosexuality is the most unnatural sin that exists. Gays are not born, because homosexuality is the consequence of openly submitting to the devil. And why are so many reformed young men gay in our days? Because the reformed churches, and all churches, accept homosexuality as a disposition, But that is an invention of the devil, my beloved. Homosexuality is not an invention, but a case of guilt before the Creator of heaven and earth. So Laban was a miser, and he was unconverted. A miser lives in sin, because miserliness is a root of all evil, says the Word of God. And out of that sin, there come forth many sins. It is a root. So, there come forth a tree of sins, with many branches. And Laban must have been very happy with Jacob's offer, for it didn't cost him a penny. He was very glad, I guess. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed unto him, they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he felt towards her. Listen, the Lord has been working to gather his bride for 60 ages already, and those 60 ages are unto him but a few days. Because 1,000 days are the same as 1 day in the sight of the Lord. His tolerant love to gather his church is adorable. It was not hard to Jacob to work 7 years to obtain Rachel as his bride. This is also the case spiritually. And Matthew Henry says, if we know how to value the happiness of heaven, the sufferings of his present time will be as nothing to us in comparison of it. An age of work will be but as a few days to those that love God and long for Christ appearing. So Jacob was betrothed to Rachel, and everyone knew this, and Laban and his whole house knew this. And finally Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife. And when we read the marginal notes, they say that is my espoused wife, by virtue of the marriage contract, by virtue of the marriage contract. And then Laban made a wedding party in honor of Jacob and Rachel. Yeah. But what did Laban do? Well, he didn't give Rachel, but Leah to Jacob. And with this, Laban shows his base heart to Jacob, who had served him faithfully for 7 years. And Laban knew he was betrothed to Rachel. But in fact, Leah commits fornication. For she also knew of the betrothal between Jacob and Rachel. And it is true that in those days there were different rules as to marriages from those of our days. For usually the daughters were married out. That was quite common in those days. But that Laban gave his oldest daughter instead of Rachel. And that was hellish deceit. And what was behind this? Well, Laban was avaricious. He was a miser. Laban was only after money. And for this he sacrificed both his daughters. But actually he destroyed the lives of Rachel, Leah, but also Jacob's life. For the devil is always present when there are two wives in one family. But Jacob was not supposed to refuse Rachel, for he had betrothed her. Now we would say they were engaged, and they had given each other marriage vows under oath. And nowadays this is sealed with an engagement ring. That's good. But we said Laban was after money, for he thought, if I give Leah to Jacob first, then he must serve 7 more years for Rachel. For Laban says to Jacob, fulfill her week. That means that Jacob had to finish the 1 week's marriage feast with Leah, then this marriage couldn't be undone anymore. And after that week he could get Rachel immediately if he promised to work 7 more years for her. Now if Laban wanted to spare Rachel, he would have given her after the 7 years service. But this was not necessary for him. No. Jacob could get Rachel at once. For now Laban was sure to have a free servant for 14 years. It didn't cost him anything. Well, 2 of his daughters, he would have lost them to somebody anyway. How deadly crafty a man is, isn't he? Oh, beloved, and that Laban lives in your and my heart, mind you. For the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Thus, as a matter of fact, Jacob got 2 wives, and in those days there were no laws yet that forbade this, but it was contrary the laws of nature, and later also against God's ordinance through the law of Moses. But Jacob had not meant this to be at all, but remained as faithful to Rachel as his father was to Rebekah. Jacob must be content and make 2 talents, Reverend Matthew Henry says, but it remained a blot of his escutcheon and will be so the end of the world. It was a shame in the life of Jacob. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. Jacob preferred Rachel over Leah. Leah was not hated in the way we understand the word. No. She was met with less love than Rachel. And that is what meant with the word hated. And to bring this marriage into balance, God opened Leah's womb. And so Jacob dealt with Leah as with his wife, but to much lesser degree than Rachel. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. That means see a son. But beloved, if we show off our children, that often results in a disaster. Look to Reuben. When Father Jacob lies on his deathbed, he talks about Reuben totally different than Leah. For he says, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the first fruit of my vigor. Excellency of dignity and excellency of strength. See you some. Impetuous as waters, and thou shalt have no preeminence, because thou wentest up to thy father's couch, and then defiled thou it. He went up to my bed. So, Reuben was not as nice as his name was. But Leah ends up glorifying in the gift and not in God himself. And with the grace received, Leah tries to move heaven down to the earth. For she says, sure the Lord has looked upon my affliction, and now therefore my husband will love me. Surely, therefore, Leah reasons. No, Leah, not because therefore, but why notwithstanding? Why was I chosen, whereas others perish? Whom thou grantest no mercy, notwithstanding I the chief of sinners. Why have I received a son and Rachel hasn't? For there is no difference between her and me. I am no better than Rachel. Yes, Leah, That will be a good confession, for it is and remains grace. To bear children. Yeah. Look. For Leah conceived again and bare another son. Now Leah will surely end in God. Well, wait a moment, what does he say? Because the Lord had heard that I was hated, he had given me this son also, and she called his name Simeon. But Jacob, it remains, but Jacob, the situation remains the same. Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. And see, Leah conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Now I am a mother in Israel, Leah thought. Now that Levi has been added, and now will Jacob will love me more and be joined unto me. Yeah. But the situation remains the same. But Jacob preferred Rachel over Leah. Now the Lord goes on, because it says, and she, Leah, conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. That means Judah, that means praiser of the Lord. Leah said, Jacob, now it is not necessary anymore, for this time I shall praise the Lord. Now I am connected with God. Now God is my all, Jacob, and now I can do without you. For now I will praise the Lord. Now Leah didn't need to bear children anymore, for she had borne God. Because God had borne Leah, Judah. Thou art he, what? Praiser of the Lord. Christ will be born from Leah and be born from Judah. Now then, Leah has enough children, for in Christ he had broken out in a multitude of children. That was the promise to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. That they will be broken out in a multitude of children. And that was end in Judah. That was fulfilled in Judah. Well, look, then the envy appears. When Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. That's quite something. Rachel was very different from what she should be. Her desire to bear children, that was good, and a fruit of the fear of the Lord. But now she changed her desire in a request. Give me children, else I die. As if it were Jacob's fault that she was barren. She was barren because of her envy. No, it was because of Adam's fall. It was because of sin. Will you think about this, women in our midst? Childlessness is a result of the fall, however painful it may be. And wherefore does a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sin? Now, Rachel, you would have done infinitely better if you had wept before God with your barrenness. Will you remember, women? And mothers, will you honor the Lord like Leah did with Judah, when you may be fertile? For then God has opened your womb also. And that is common grace. That's common mercy. For children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. But first we will sing. We will sing together Psalm 128, Psalm 128, verse 2. Remember, my beloved, for children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Oh, how God's judgment will burn in the Netherlands, yea, in the whole world, because thousands of these rewards are murdered in the womb, or killed in cold blood. And God will never leave this satanic abortion iniquity unpunished. But we should never feel better, mind you. Because this is the truth. In evil we have gone astray. And sinful is our race. Rebelliously our fathers walked, forgetful of thy grace. Yeah, and Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead who had withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And Jacob was angry with her, whom he loved most. No, for God reconciled with him. Eh? Christ was loved most by Jacob, and not Rachel in the first place. And that reconciliation Jacob had received in the promise from God, eh? But Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. Yeah. But God, he loved the most. Hmm? And therefore his anger was kindled with Rachel. Am I in God's stead? Hmm? And actually Jacob says, why don't you kneel down before God with all your needs? And why do you trouble me in this way? I, Jacob, am nothing dust but dust and ashes. But Rachel knows the solution herself. And she said to Jacob, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. Now, we have to make a remark, eh? But Jacob doesn't fall into the same temptation as his grandfather Abraham with Hagar. Because all the sons of Jacob are patriarchs, and they all were elected by God. Ishmael wasn't. Ishmael was a son of bondage. And it says the son of bondage will not inherit with the son of liberty. Remember, none of Jacob's children have been lost forever. All were elected by God to receive eternal salvation, including Jacob's wives, Leah and Rachel. Yeah, that's an eternal miracle, eh? But it is the truth. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And then Rachel boasts carnally, God has judged me and had also heard my voice and had given me a son, therefore called she his name Dan. Now what is Dan? Dan means judge. Eh? Yeah. Samson. Eh? Samson was a judge. He was a denied too, eh? but a very special one, a very good one, a man of God. And in the worst case, Dan was like a serpent. Eh? We shall see that further on. If the Lord willing. And after this, Naphtali was born out of Bilhah. And then Rachel says, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. Now Rachel has overcome with prayer. Eh? And we shouldn't question those prayers of Rachel as if they were nothing. No. No, she did have great wrestlings, because the Old Testament women wanted to be pregnant to bear Christ. Remember. And Naphtali sealed his name with wrestlings of his mother, for his name means my wrestling. Yeah, my wrestling. Rachel's wrestlings was mixed with a little bit self-love. Yeah, but now Leah sees that Rachel threatened to get ahead of her. Leah becomes envious too. Oh. How women are among each other. One begrudges the other one, the light of her eyes, for Leah also had such a solution. Yeah, Zilpah. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son, and Leah said, a troop comes. And she called his name Gad. Gad means troop or company. Beware of Gad. Because it says, Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. And blessed be he that enlarged Gad, he dwelleth as a lion. So, Gad became a soldier in God's army. And watch him, watch God. Because God was a lion, a warrior. And the man who wants to fight against God will perish. That's still true. Because I am a member of the tribe of God. And God will always win the battle against his enemies. Why? Now God fights the Lord's battles. God will always win the battles against his enemies. And that is still the case. Every child of God, he recognizes her or himself in one of the tribes of Jacob. Now Leah continues to bear children. Happy am I, Leah cries out. When Zilpah was born, Asher means happy. But Leah is not satisfied with that happiness. No, for when Reuben found the mandrakes in the field, he takes them to his mother Leah. And then Rachel has seen that and said to Leah, give me, I pray, of thy son's mandrakes. And Rachel thought, I'll give them to Jacob, because I have made him angry. Now Rachel will make up with somebody else find, but Leah saw through it and said, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also? Actually, Leah says to Rachel, isn't it enough that you have taken my husband? Haven't you got enough yet? Must you still take away the little that my son finds to please Jacob? What envious women, eh? And how much Jacob has had to endure. Two women on one pillow. The devil is in between. Now Jacob has experienced that. And Leah seduced her own husband Jacob, for she said, and therefore Jacob shall lie with me tonight for my son's mandrakes. Those mandrakes were a sort of love flowers or love fruit, I don't know exactly, and they were a rare find, and now Leah does something for which we should pity her, for she runs to meet Jacob in the field and says to him, thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. And now Leah hires Jacob to be with her. Leah hires her own husband for wages. Oh, poor Leah. Leah seduced her husband with mandrakes. Leah, woman, what are you at? But it works. For you are not finished that fast with a woman, especially when there is jealousy. And still we cannot accuse Leah of jealousy all the way, for it says, and God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived. And the marginal notes say, Leah was hurt out of grace, despite her human weakness and wrong thoughts. For with Leah it had been a matter of prayer. But to hire your own husband for wages. And Leah bore her fifth son and called him Issachar. A hire, that means a hire. But it continues, more children were born, and Leah born again, and his name was Zebulun, that means dwelling. And Leah was also rejoiced with a daughter, namely Dinah. Dinah has the same meaning as den. But no less than Leah, Rachel was to be found at the throne of grace, the throne of God. For it says, God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. So Rachel and Leah received the same mercy, for both of them had forfeited the blessing of receiving children in Adam already. But in answer to prayer, God works great miracles. Yeah. And Rachel bore Jacob a son. Yeah. Then Rachel says, God has taken away my reproach, and she called his name Joseph. Now, Joseph means taken away reproach, as if the greatest blessing was God having saved her honor. But the superior Joseph was taken away the reproach of his people. That's the spiritual meaning. Leah was granted to finish in God, with Judah, and that has an eternal value because Christ was born out of Judah, and he was the lion out of the tribe of Judah, who is the praiser of God more than Judah. More than Judah is here. It's Christ. The lion out of the tribe of Judah. Christ is not only a lamb, no, he's also the lion. To honor, to give God the honor. Yeah. As lamb, yes, he has saved our souls. But as the lion out of the tribe of Judah, he gives his father his honor. Laban probably thought that Jacob would stay with him in Haran, but after Jacob had finished his 14 years of labor, he asked his uncle Laban to be allowed to leave with his wife, with his wives and his children. Jacob desired to return to his country. And Jacob desires no more that what he has received from God, he desires no wages. No. For Jacob had kept God. So, Jacob had all. And Laban is subjected to Jacob, for he had seen that God was with Jacob. Yeah. For he says, I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake. Yeah. For at Bethel the Lord has promised to Jacob, I will with thee. I will be with thee in all places whither thou goest. And when the Lord has promised you something, beloved, others will notice that. Just like Abimelech noticed with Isaac, that God was with Isaac. Yeah, and now Jacob reminds Laban of what God has done during his stay in Haran. Jacob points out to him the deeds of the Lord who has increased his livestock for Jacob's sake. Yeah, and then Laban's conscience speaks. That will be a blessing if you have a speaking conscience. Oh yeah. And Laban had and his conscience speaks. For then he insists with Jacob, what shall I give thee? Yeah. Now, but Jacob says, thou shalt not give me anything. I will again feed and keep thy flock. And Jacob lets God's providence determine what he will receive, not Laban's generosity. For that would only be disappointing. Jacob had found that out. For the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. But the righteous man regarded the life of his beasts. Show me your beast and I will tell you who you are. Now Jacob wanted to depend on this. He knew each of the sheep of the sheep, like the Lord Jesus knows each of his sheep, of the sheep, and also the little ones. The little ones in faith know the Lord Jesus as well.
Huh? Oh yeah.
There is no regeneration without the knowledge of Christ. That is a regeneration of the devil. All God's children knows the Lord Jesus by faith. Little or a big faith, it doesn't matter. True faith, that counts. But then Jacob wanted wages for which he had pastored for God. Behold, he says, behold, I and the children whom thou hast given me. Eh? That will be also the sound of Christ. Eh? In this. When he came in heaven. Eh? When all God's children are gathered together in heaven. Behold, I and the children whom thou hast given me. That is the spiritual meaning. And God had given them already in Jacob's heart so that Jacob could demand them back liberally. And all the speckled and spotted and all the brown cattle among the sheep and among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. No more and no less. The despised, the scum, and the base things of this world God has chosen. Yeah. And things which are not, to bring not things that are. Well, that is the foundation of this event, so that we would be taught by it, to the salvation of our souls. That's the goal of preaching, to give God the honor, and in the honor, salvation is involved. And all the same time, Jacob will have proof, which is so clear that if unspeckled and unspotted cattle were among the cattle that Jacob had set apart, this would testify against Jacob. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. Laban is submitted to God's power, and he has cooperated. The Lord turns the king's hearts like the rivers of water, and then they can only consent. In other words, Laban says, I cannot put anything against this. I have no power to withstand you. Behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And he removed, says verse 35. Who? Jacob, of course. Wrong. It was Laban. And do you think that Laban entrusted Jacob else with it? Anybody else with it? And Jacob? No. For it says, and gave them into the hand of his sons. For Laban thought, if I entrust Jacob with the flock which I have given him for wages, he may leave unexpectedly. Yes, misses are always suspicious and unclear, but Laban doesn't reckon with Jacob's God. For when Jacob takes charge of Laban's with the sheep, Jacob gets an idea from God, from God, in order to multiply the spotted and the speckled sheep. And as Laban was suspicious, he had separated the two flocks with a 3-day journey between them. So the spotted and the speckled animals were separated from the white ones with a 3-day journey between them. The latter were in Jacob's care. So humanly speaking, there was no chance that the white animals would cross with the other ones and produce spotted and speckled ones. And the multiplication of the flocks was not controlled by him, so that he could not influence it to his own advantage. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar, it says, and of hazel and chestnut tree, and pillared white streaks in them. So he skinned the branches partly, and those branches he laid in the watering troughs of the flock, and when the animals mated, they produced brown, speckled, and spotted lambs. And it was caused by the spotted branches they kept looking at while drinking. But Jacob didn't do this in the autumn. For he knew that then weak animals would be born. Now somebody of you say, was it not the seed to keep the strong animals for himself and leaving the weaker ones to Laban? No, my friend, not at all. But it was rather an art of trade taught him by God in order to punish Laban for his miserableness and put him to shame. And the man Jacob increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and menservants and camels and asses. Now we have thought about this part of history of Jacob, beloved. And in this way we have seen in the sermon that it will be well with the righteous. But also we have seen that the ungodly come to grief. Now how stand it with us? We can preach about Jacob, and we can think about it, and we can talk about it. But how stand it with us? How is our relationship to the Lord of Jacob, to the God of Jacob? Do we know the God of Bethel? Are we justified as an ungodly sinner? And do we know anything of having been sought and picked up by God in and out of our state of death? Have we been made to realize that guilt is guilt and that mercy is mercy? Now Jacob knows something about it. Oh yeah. He received an open heaven at Bethel. And the Lord was on top of the ladder. And the Lord promised something to Jacob. With power in his heart. Now has our being in Adam become damnable before the Lord yet, beloved? Have we become lost sinners before the Lord yet? Do we love God wholeheartedly without wanting to deserve heaven or escaping hell? Are we known and loved by God so that we may say, He is mine and I His, He my sins and I His righteousness? And do you have another conversion than described here? If so, then you are still cherishing loss and dung instead of the excellency of Christ Jesus. We have heard in this sermon Jacob and God. God and Jacob. But in Penuel it will be appear God in Christ alone. And Jacob needs a second conversion, that you can also see it in Peter's life, Apostle Peter. This is his second conversion when he denied the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Then he falls through his own conversion. That is important to know. That is important to experience. And then in Penuel, it was through thee alone. Then Jacob is not important anymore. Not his conversion. But then it will be God in Christ alone. And finally Jacob went into the grave and Israel went to heaven. Yeah. And presently in heaven Israel may join. And there he goes to rejoice in a triune God in peace. And that is already what Jacob may do for a long time, because Christ has prepared place for Jacob in the house of the Father. Do you have a prepared place in the house of the Father, my beloved? You have to know. You have to know that on this side on the grave. What is our destination, beloved? There are only two destinations. The destination of Esau, and that will be a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there is also a destination of Jacob, there where God will be, and there will be God all in all. Now we are ambassadors, therefore, For Christ God, as it were beseeching us, we entreat for Christ be reconciled to God. Him who knew not sin, he has made sin for us, that we might become God's righteousness in him. And that God is still the same. He is still alive. He converts people unto the end of the world. And he will gather his flock, and it will be one flock and one shepherd. Amen. Lord, we have heard about the marriage of Jacob with Leah and Rachel, and all the struggles in Jacob's life because of his two wives. But thou were seeking for seed, and thou art still seeking to increase thy kingdom. And thou hast chosen the 12 patriarchs to be thy people, to be the people of Israel. O Lord, thy people, the Jews, is thy people. Remember them in thy mercy, according to thy promise concerning their salvation. And the salvation is out of the Jews. And thy will never forsake thy people, the Jews. Bring them to the knowledge of Christ, because Christ is the King of the Jews. And that was the very truth what Pilate has written. Christ, the King of the Jews. But, O Lord, that he may be also our King, and that it may be one flock and one shepherd. Thy word says, this world will be gone. But thy word will stand forever and will never fail, that thy word may be as a seed of regeneration for us, to be a sheep, thy sheep, and to belong to thy flock. Lord, be with us in the coming week and prepare us for the never-ended eternity. There is no expectation of us, but that we may be found in Christ. He will end the salvation of all his children to eternal glory, so that they will praise thee forever. Lord, fulfill us with thy glory in Christ, and then thy will have the praise. We pray thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let me finish with Psalter 1:97. Oh no, organist, I'm wrong. We have to sing Psalm 135, the stanzas 1 and 2. Psalm 35, 135, the stanzas 1 and 2. we will finish in with Psalter 197. The Savior and the Father's boundless love, with the Holy Spirit's favor, rest upon us from above. Amen.